Welcome to the Thrive Church Sermon of the Week podcast. We're inviting you to experience God, forget dead religion, and thrive in Jesus. For more information regarding this podcast and other resources, visit thriveny.org. We hope you enjoy the message.
Our December series is called I'll Be Home for Christmas. And it has been a powerful month of figuring out what that means for us today. That song, I'll Be Home for Christmas, was actually written during World War II, and it was about the longing that war brings when it separates families. And how many know there are battles going on in our life? Maybe this Christmas doesn't feel silent night-ish. Maybe it doesn't feel joy to the world-ish in your world. And I'm so glad you're here to just pause from all of that and encounter the Prince of Peace himself, amen, and be home for Christmas. So just to review, the first Sunday of December, Dr. Rich, who is one of our church advisors, he launched our series and he talked about how we are God's home on earth. And then last Sunday, we followed Joseph home for Christmas and talked about how God can work through impossible circumstances and divine interruptions. So our key verse today is John 1:14. It says, so the word became human and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. Last week, we talked about how that word home means to pitch a tent. So it was the first camp out, right, in John 1:14. But today, I want to look at the word glory. Can we all just say glory? If you haven't been to a church where you repeat a word, I just like to do it to keep us warm and engaged, all right? So, glory. The Greek word literally means something inherently and intrinsically worth. Something worth. Everyone say worth. Intrinsic worth. If you slept with a six-month-old, you'd be saying that word funny too. All right, intrinsic worth. Christmas invites us to look at what we put worth on, what we value in our life. Who knows the carol? Long lay the world in sin and error pining till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. Can we just think about that for a second? I don't know about you, but I've sang that carol 1,000 times and I've never stopped at that line. The soul felt its worth. If there's one thing you get out of today, I pray that you realize that your soul has worth, that you have value this morning. It's about us recognizing God's worth and God defining our worth by sending Jesus down to earth, to the cross, to the resurrection, and he's coming back again. Amen? That's how much worth and value he has put on each one of us. Think about it. Homelessness couldn't redefine Jesus's worth when there was no room. Physical impossibility couldn't redefine Jesus's worth. Mary was a virgin. A dad that first rejected him before getting a revelation of who he was couldn't redefine Jesus's worth, right? At the beginning, Joseph almost left Mary. A corrupt government couldn't redefine Jesus's worth. Jesus lived in exile in Egypt as a child. Working a 9-to-5 job for 17 years couldn't redefine Jesus' worth. Jesus was a carpenter from 13 on. 13 would have been the average age that he would have gone into that trade. Who's been working your job for 17 years and you feel like it redefined your worth a little bit, right? Depends on the job, right? I'm not allowed to raise my hand, right, on that one. Right? But if homelessness, if physical impossibility, if corrupt government, if jobs that seem to last forever couldn't change, steal, or redefine Jesus' worth on earth, it can't change or steal yours either. Joy to the world. Isn't that the good news of Christmas? And it's so easy to define our value on external things or words that were said or words that we wish were said that never were or words that were said that we wish had never been said. That's usually where we find our value and our worth, instead of realizing that our value comes from receiving the free gift of Jesus making his home in us this Christmas. So as I said last week, the only one that was home for the first Christmas was Jesus himself. Mary and Joseph were traveling for the census. The shepherds traveled to see Jesus. The wise men were traveling to see Jesus. Even the angels were traveling. Everybody was traveling, and Jesus was home for Christmas, but he was the only one. So let's unpack this just a little bit more this morning. We're going to talk about the key to coming home for Christmas. The first home for Jesus on earth was chosen because it was specially prepared for God. Tune in here. This is important. I want to see if you're paying attention. Dimensions were given. Special materials were outlined. Many, many instructions that you can find in one of the most exciting books of the Bible. Full of instructions, right? And the cost was in the billions, if not trillions. Has anyone decided that I'm not speaking truth yet? That's actually for King Solomon's temple. I looked up the value of King Solomon's temple in the Old Testament, which is where God's presence was, if you read the Old Testament. And it was incredible. It was more than billions. It's looked to like half a trillion or something like that. And it was actually Elon Musk's net worth as of earlier this year. That was just the gold materials for the temple. Not the temple, just the gold in the temple. That is how expensive the temple was in the Old Testament. Now, stay with me here, because I would have thought if Jesus was coming in the flesh, God is coming in the flesh to earth, then it better be twice as expensive, twice as magnificent, twice as many gold and jewels and perfect measurements, right? But instead, we go from literally trillions to a manger. And I think often we get stuck still in the trillions. Well, I don't have the trillions. My life isn't worth that. It doesn't look like that. It doesn't have the gold or the jewels or whatever you want to say. It's not worth a King of Kings making his home in my heart. You don't know what I've done. Nobody does. And yet, Christmas redefines our value and our worth. He said, no, that manger and our hearts are worth more than trillions just in gold. Isn't that amazing? Can we just wonder this Christmas like a child's first Christmas? It's Phoebe's first Christmas. She's not going to remember it. She's 6 months, all right? But everyone's like, it's her first Christmas. And I'm thinking, really, it's our first Christmas with a baby. So y'all can pray for us, right? That's actually what's happening this Christmas. And I've got 4 days. I'm like, if I mispronounce something, that's why, all right? But there's a wonder that is just incredible when you see a child at Christmas time. That's why our Christmas play isn't like the biggest production. I'd rather have a child encounter Jesus and have some fun and make some memories. And just for everyone, I'm going to embarrass someone. I didn't ask their permission. But joy. I found an old Christmas play photo of you as a shepherd. And I just got to give it up for Joy this morning. She helped with the play, and she is a generational Christmas play actress. I'm just saying. So that's some generational blessing right there. I was like, is that? Oh my gosh. And you looked great. You look better in the angel. I like the angel look better than shepherd. I'm just going to say it, but shepherd was great too. All right. I just had to share that over there. But there is a wonder about Christmas. And I want you to capture that wonder in your heart, because life can sometimes run us down or can try to steal that. But today, let's remember our worth. Let's remember the worthy one, Jesus, that chose us to be his home, an unlikely home. Maybe you feel like you have no business being here today or welcoming God into your life. Maybe you haven't been to church in years or months or never been before, or you're just here for the holiday. I'm so glad you're here. But I don't want you to ever forget after today that God chose you to be his home on earth, now and forever. Amen? Luke 2:7. Here's the Bible. I said get your Bibles out. Luke 2:7. And she gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. A manger reminds us God redefines what is messy and makes his home right in the middle of it. He can turn anyone and anything into a thriving home that can transform a city. That's our vision statement here at Thrive. Thriving homes transform cities. And of course, we're committed to households thriving. But what it's really about is each one of us coming to the discovery that we are a home for God. We can be a thriving home. If one yes of being available to God can turn a manger into a throne for the King of Kings, one yes to being available to God can turn a heart into a home for the Messiah. Amen? So there's one requirement for being a home for this Christmas, for coming home for Christmas this year. And it's not the trillions of gold and jewels and perfect measurements. I don't know if you've ever seen any of us try to do a construction in this church, but I'm just grateful that we are not building a temple because we don't always get the angles right in this church. I'm sorry, but it just happens, right? We do our best. But that's not required anymore. Praise God. There's only one thing, and it is being available. Being available. As a parent, I have come to understand being available is different once you're a parent than not a parent. You can preach on being available, but until you have a kid, and I know not all of us do, and that's fine, but when you have a kid or maybe you have a job that really requires your attention, you can't just scroll or you can't just leave the room. My husband and I will be across the house together, and Phoebe will be in the other room for like 5 seconds, and she's safe, but we look at each other and we're like, you don't have her? Where is she? Because we stopped being available. Can you imagine what your life would look like if you're married or at work, or whatever life season your life is, and you're like, I stopped being available for God. Oh no, wait, where is God? Can you imagine how much value and worth what that would do to your life? Just think about that. The good news is he never leaves you, but sometimes we miss him a little bit. At least I do, I'll be honest with you, right? So being available to God is worth more than everything in that temple. He could have built another temple in the New Testament, but instead he said, no, I don't want the gold. I don't want the jewels. I don't even need a bed. I just want availability. That's what he wants in your life this Christmas, and it looks different for all of us. The manger was available for messy, smelly animals. Sheep, donkeys, goats, before he was available for Jesus. I said he, manger wasn't a he, before it was available for Jesus, right? And my favorite part of the play is always the sheep. I love the sheep. And usually the sheep are the most chaotic of the play. Like we had a shoe up in the air up here for all the front rowers. The sheep was like, my shoe. And I'm like, this is perfect because this is Christmas. Because before the manger was available for Jesus, the manger was available for the sheep and the horses. It was just doing its job. Yeah? But we all have manger areas in our lives. Now, if you're a homesteader, maybe you have real sheep, and I don't know. But I'm going to talk to the rest of us that don't homestead, thank God, because I would not make it. We all are available for something. We always are available. The question is, what are we making ourselves available for? Is your marriage or your friendships more available for offense and bitterness or God's definition of love? Are your conversations more available for gossip, antagonizing each other, or peace and encouragement? Is your schedule more available for overwhelm or intentional living in your life season? We're always available. It's not a question of I'm not available. It's a question of what am I available for? So what are you making yourself available for this Christmas? Think about it in your mind. In your relationships, at work, in your home, what are you making yourselves available for? I'm just gonna start to wrap up here. Let's make ourselves available for love himself. This week's Advent is the final Advent week, and if you got it on the handout, we may have run out, but you can always get it at thriveny.org/connect, the PDF version or the YouVersion app. And this coming week is focused on love. I want to start with 1 John 4:16. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. I think when we say the word available, I'm going to now switch to the word surrender, which maybe is a little more of a churchy word for available, all right? But surrender, we often think of like, hands up, I surrender. Which in worship is convenient to put your hands up and surrender, I will say. But oftentimes we think, I surrender, right? And it's like a military word. But in biblical context, the word surrender is always a response to love. It's a choice. It's a response. It says in 1 John 4:19, we love because he first loved us. And I want to dare say, we can surrender because Jesus first surrendered at the cross. Think about that. Matthew 26:39, I know I'm cruising through our scriptures this morning, but Matthew 26:39 says, going a little farther, this is Jesus, right before he was crucified. He fell face down and prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me, yet not as I will, but as you will. Because of that scripture, we can surrender, because he first surrendered. Jesus knew Father God's love so deeply that surrender here wasn't foolish, it wasn't forced, it wasn't manipulated, it wasn't a last-ditch effort. It was a choice and a response to Father God's unstoppable love, even through death. It says in Ephesians 3:17, then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust him, and your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. That's one of my favorite verses. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust him. God wants to invite you back into a place of relationship today. Maybe some of you have been walking with him for years. Maybe some of you have never have or fell away. But God wants to invite you home for Christmas in his love. Was the manger preparing for years to host the Savior of the world? Think about that. Was it? Did the manger make sure it was cleaned up after all the animals were fed? Worked really hard. It was like, you know what? I'm going to call the Old Testament, get some gold overlay. Don't put Jesus in me yet. No, not at all. What was it? It just was available. It was just available. Maybe some of us feel like we have some major situations in our lives. And God is saying, you don't need to clean up. You just need to say yes to receiving me as your Savior this Christmas and welcome me home for Christmas. Mary had her life in order, and then the angel came and offered her something even better. Joseph had future plans, ready to marry his wife and build their dreams together, and the manger was even doing its job when Joseph showed up. My favorite, which I didn't get to preach on this year, I did, I think, last year, were the shepherds. They're just working the overnight shift. Who works an overnight shift? And Jesus showed up. Jesus is going to show up on your overnight shifts, right? They're just working their job. Even Jesus worked a job. It doesn't mean that Jesus can't be with you in that 9 to 5 or however the overnight shift works. He loves to come where there is availability. God can do more with one available heart than 1,000 highly talented people. And I'm not saying we all aren't highly talented, but have you ever looked at someone and they're like, my gosh, they got every single talent. What am I going to do? What can I bring? How can I shine my light for Jesus? Or am I even worth anything? One available heart, just like that manger, is more valuable than 1,000 unavailable. God can do more with one available marriage, one available relationship that was dysfunctional, than 1,000 people with a perfect childhood who got married. And that does not exist, just as a heads up. If you've never experienced Jesus before, the manger hadn't either. Everyone involved in the first Christmas story had never encountered Jesus until the first Christmas. And maybe this is your first Christmas. Maybe you got saved this year. You were one of the, I don't remember how many, that got saved at Thrive. Or maybe you're just coming in and you aren't even sure who Jesus is yet. Christmas is the perfect time to welcome him, because everyone involved in the first Christmas had no experience hosting Jesus either. They had no idea what they were doing either. So why don't you stand on your feet as we close? Before there was a cross and a resurrection, there was that manger. Not just 2,000 years ago, but also in our daily lives. Before there was a resurrection, before there was the Last Supper, before there was leprosy healed and blind eyes opened and the dead raised, There was a manger that was available. There was a Mary and Joseph that were available. There were shepherds that were available. There were wise men that were available. And then there were many others that weren't available. And my prayer for us this morning is that we would choose to be available for God. It says in Isaiah 9:6, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace." I want to pray a Christmas blessing for you this morning. But before I do that, I want to invite you to welcome Jesus into your heart if you have never done that before, or maybe you wandered away. And Jesus is saying, "I want to be home for Christmas in your life." Maybe you want to welcome him home in a relationship that you have or a situation, and you're like, "You know what? I have been boxing God out of that situation. I said it was too messy. I said it was too smelly. I said he had no business being there because Jesus only belongs in a temple, a golden temple," instead of realizing that we are his home on earth. So I want to invite you to welcome Jesus in any situations. Maybe this end of year isn't a joyful, peaceful time, and we want you to know we see you in that, and we are here with you in that moment. So I'm just going to pray, and I want to invite you to pray with me if you want to invite Jesus into your heart as your Savior, or you want to rededicate your life or a certain part of your life. So if you just repeat after me, "Jesus, I welcome you home into my heart this Christmas. I am so sorry for the sin in my life when I have chosen things that went against your best. Be my Savior. Be my Father. Be my Lord this Christmas. In Jesus' name, amen." I just want to bless you this morning. I bless every messy, confusing, purposeless situation right now that's represented in this room to encounter our Savior. I bless any insecurity of whether you're enough or what your value is or what your worth is to encounter God's love that is unconditional right now. I bless your hearts and your homes to become homes for Jesus, and your manger situations to turn to thrones for Jesus today. God, make us available for you this Christmas. Remind us of who you are. Show us your mercy, God. Remind us of your goodness and your love and your forgiveness. God, we thank you that your forgiveness is more powerful than anything ever done to us or that we have ever done. And so we thank you, God, that you can come home for Christmas and we can come home to you this Christmas. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. If you enjoyed today's message, please support us by rating, reviewing, and subscribing to our podcast. You can find more info and invest in the gospel at thriveny.org. Go and thrive this week, and we will see you soon.